Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show with your host, Skip LaCour. Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show is a weekly talk radio program that discusses any of the challenges that you face as you strive to create the best body you possibly can and outlines solutions. This is your opportunity to talk with Skip about what's most important to you in your training efforts, share your thoughts and opinions in an open forum, and learn from the experiences of other passionate lifters just like you at the same time. Skip LaCour is a six-time national champion and whose leadership and coaching continues to guide bodybuilders around the globe. Here is the host of this bodybuilding and training show, Skip LaCour.
Welcome to this bodybuilding and training talk radio show. I am Skip LaCour. All it takes is one new strategy, one new idea, one new way of looking at the same challenge or situation that makes all the difference in the world, that launches you into a new level of physical and mental growth that will take you to the next level. Oftentimes, you may find out that you're already doing everything right. You just need to keep on track and continue what you're doing. You just need to keep on keeping on. What you need is validation, the approval from a coach, an expert, or a friend. That's all you need to kind of get back on track and to just keep on doing the things in the gym with your eating habits to have you continue on in a positive direction with a positive mindset and just get the job done. So what's the next level for you? Is that with your training, your eating, your supplementation program, your mental outlook? What's the next level for you? And what do you have planned to take you there? Here's your chance to get some free coaching. Call me and let's talk about what it's going to take for you to get more out of your bodybuilding and training efforts. The number here is 347-326-9145. That number again is 347-326-9145. You can also participate in our chat room by logging in for a free account and chatting with passionate lifters just like you, and commenting, fielding any questions from other people in the chat room, or asking for clarity of anything I'm talking about on the show. You can do that all in the chat room. Take advantage of this opportunity. I have so many emails that come through. I have people who are booking appointments for phone consultations. Here's your chance to get all of that for free right here in this open forum by dialing the number 347-326-9145. So that next level, I can help you can do that. I've been helping thousands of bodybuilders and fitness enthusiasts all throughout the world take their bodies to the next level, get more clarity, bust through those frustrating sticking points and plateaus. I've been doing that through my website, www.skiplacour.com. I've written 10 books. I produced 7 DVDs breaking all of this information and inspiration down. I've been writing for the Muscle magazines for over 15 years, one-on-one coaching, live seminars, and now here in this open forum. So take advantage of this opportunity by calling into the show. I want to field your questions, anything that you have to talk about, whether it's in the areas of training, nutrition, specific training questions in the gym, nutrition questions, getting that clarity. I also want to talk about motivation, drive, determination in the gym. And I want you to participate by giving me your feedback and your opinions. What do you do during those down times? No matter how well your training is going, no matter how on track, there'll be times where it will wane. Your motivation, your drive, your ability to rack up great workout after great workout or string together days with you have all those perfect eating habits, right? You have that right mental attitude. There's days that you'll go down. Maybe It'll happen for several days in a row. What do you do to pull yourself out of that? I want you to call in. I want you to tell me what you do, because let's face it, all the greatest training strategies in the world, all the greatest nutrition strategies in the world, if you can't use that most powerful tool that you have, your mind, in the right manner, you're not going to use them effectively, if you even use them at all. From my experience, the champions, those disciplined individuals who get what they want out of the gym, they have the physiques that they really want, they have that ability to use their mind, and they do not bypass any of those mental challenges and mental peaks and valleys that you do. What makes a person a champion, or what makes a person have that great physique and mind and ability to eat right and train right, is because they can bounce back from those times. So I want to hear what you do. I want to hear what you do to bounce back during those less motivated times. And I also want you to call in and tell me what you're going through. I have 25 years in the personal development industry, coaching, motivation, mental strategies, all these different tricks to help you just get that whack on the side of the head and get your head back into it. Call me up. Take advantage. Tell me what you're going through right now. Tell me what your challenges are. A lot of times we think, wow, we have all these challenges, whether it's with our personal lives, our business lives, time management issues. And just bouncing that off a friend, a coach, a mentor, it can help you create more clarity and see your situation from a different angle so you can just get back and get back to work and get back on track. I have a caller from the 313 area code. 313. Caller, are you there?
Yes, that's me. This is David.
David, how are you, sir?
Right, how are you doing, Skip?
I'm awesome, David. David, where are you from?
Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit, Michigan, all right. So how can I help you today, sir?
Well, first I want to say I've been a fan of yours for years. I have some of your videos and so forth, so I was excited to see that you have this radio show set up now.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you. Now, my concern is I've been a weightlifter for a number of years, and my biggest problem, my biggest stubborn area is chest. And with me, my body type is ectomorph, so I'm tall, lanky type.
Right.
So it's always been tough putting on muscle size. However, the last several years, and I found that other body parts, especially arms and thighs,
right,
can add size to pretty well. But with chest, it seems like no matter what I do, it's not able to get any thickness.
Okay.
But
I got you, David. Now, you say you've been training a number of years. How many years has that been, actually?
Overall, over 10. I mean, more so.
Okay.
More
so. All right,
that
just gives me a better idea of where you might be at. I'm talking you through my different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just tell you this. One thing I've noticed, and you describe it from my experience, when I see someone with great arms, like you said, you're happy with your arms, no matter how you describe your physique as maybe being lanky, you're happy with your arms in certain development. What I find is a lot of times with certain exercises like back and chest, it's that concentration. I've said this over and over again with my show. It's that during exercise execution, moving the weight from point A to point B and just worrying about getting it up, doing a certain amount of weight, getting through to a certain amount of reps, okay? You're being productive in the gym. When you write that down on your workout log, it says, okay, I did X amount of pounds and I did X amount of weight. One question those numbers do not answer is how effectively did you stimulate the muscle, the targeted muscle that you are working, all right? And you may, you know, you're sitting in an inclined bench or you're doing a flat bench, you may seem as though you're doing everything right. But if you can't feel the muscle, now when you walk away from a chest workout, do you feel it the way you want to feel it in those chest muscles?
I do not always feel that, and that is one thing to address. I do feel that I have good form. I mean, I've done a lot of studying on how to get in position.
Right.
However, comparing like a weight workout in the gym to, say, when I do a set of push-ups, I definitely
right.
feel it in the chest more when I do the push-ups.
Right. Now, what I'm talking about is a whole different type of mindset. It goes far beyond execution because the mind, the body is a great adaptive machine. If you tell it to move the weight from point A to point B, it will do that. It will recruit whatever muscles it can to accomplish that goal. So if you've got great strong arms or shoulders, it will incorporate a lot of that to move it from point A to point B, like, for example, a bench press. Although you may believe and it may look as though you're doing the proper execution, you may be incorporating a lot of different muscles. You know, even I joke around that sometimes you'll see people using a lot of their big toe to get up the bench press, doing whatever it takes to get it from point A to point B. Let me ask you this, David. Have you ever been, it's a chest day, have you ever been maybe less motivated or you didn't have all of your meals or you're in a hurry and so you're not as courageous and you use less weight than you know you can handle? Have you ever been in one of those situations?
Years ago, yes.
Okay. I guess my question is sometimes you use less weight, maybe you don't have a spotter, let's say that, and then so you use less weight than normal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those workouts where you walk away and go, damn, man, did my chest or whatever body part you're working, it is really stimulated, and you use less weight. Have you ever been in a situation like that?
Years ago, yes.
Okay. So you know the feeling that I'm talking about. Why is that less weight stimulated your chest or whatever targeted muscle group so much better than all that other weight that you use? Why do you think that might be?
Well, you're not incorporating so much the assisting muscles.
Right. And the mindset is, oh, I should be able to do this, no problem. I've done this before. Actually, I'm kind of going backwards. So it's less of more of like, oh, I've got to get that biggest weight up. And you're in that mindset, and you take it up from the focus is getting the weight up, my biggest weight, or getting that last rep, it becomes to, well, you take that for granted, and so you go to that deeper level of focus, and that's just, well, if I'm using this lighter weight, I better really feel it in the muscle that I'm working, let's just say chest for bench press. I mean, that's happened to me many times, and that's because I'm executing the exercise in a lot different way. Do you always max out with your weight? I mean, you're pretty consistent with yourself. You push yourself to use the most weight. You're one of those guys, David, that who does not back off from what you've done last week or the week before, and you're always trying to get that extra rep.
I am, yes, but I do focus on keeping the proper form, though, at least for the most part. I don't,
right.
Cheating.
I get that. You know, why don't we just try a little bit of an experiment with chest only, okay? I want you to really just think, and what I do is oftentimes I'll close my eyes and I'll visualize my body, like the muscle. Let's just say we're using chest for this example. And what I'll do is I'll visualize those chest muscles being like flowing bands of red fibers, okay? And I'll close my eyes and visualize that. And I'm just making sure those are the muscles that are pushing the weight up from point A to point B. Really focusing on that, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, David, is that something that you consciously think of, or is that something in the back of your mind?
It's not in the back, but it's kind of in the middle.
Okay, well, let's move it to the front. Your absolute utmost priority, your number one priority, is to visualize, close your eyes, visualize, maybe back off the weight a little, just for maybe a couple weeks, just to demonstrate, to feel what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because without seeing you, I really don't know. There could be a lot of things with your execution. It could be, you know, an elbow. Maybe one of your elbows might be slightly pointed outward. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen. I think those things that might be taking the focus off your chest, okay, it could be all alleviated with that, putting that muscle movement, the targeted muscle, doing all of the work. making that your number one priority. That could alleviate any maybe slight different problems in your technique. You know, they'll correct itself with that mental focus on that muscle. All right. And I always will, with people who I coach and we talk about these things, I mean, that's the first and foremost thing, getting the most out of your own abilities, okay? And then I would go to a second layer, and this is what I'm going to do with you right now, is that, you know, what do you compare yourself to when you talk about your chest and it's how it matches up with other different parts? Are you being realistic? I mean, is it really obvious, or is that something that chest muscle that you really want? It's been my experience. Sometimes lifters were winning the game, but we think we're losing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so are you pretty realistic? Do you think you're being tough on yourself, or are you pretty realistic that chest is really lagging?
It is really lagging. I mean, looking at my overall body, it does show up as small compared to my arms and shoulders.
How's your back?
My back is better, and as far as looking at it, comparing it to the other parts of the physique, it is better than chest. It's not, it could be bigger,
right?
But, I mean, it is something that I've always had good width to the lats.
Okay. Nice thickness. The reason why I say that, too, is when someone usually lacks in the depth of their chest, they usually lack in the thickness of their back, too. And that could be an indicator, too, that they're using too much arm in all different movements, too. So just something to think about there. All right, David? Okay, hey, I appreciate the phone call. Your call, I am sure, stimulates a lot of thought with a lot of the challenges from people all over the world who are listening to this show. So I appreciate your call. And call back again, David, okay?
Okay. Yeah,
all right.
Good.
That's David from Detroit. We have a call from that 925 area code. Caller, are you there?
Hey, Skip, it's Mark David.
Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Hey, I got a question about front squats.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get an opinion from an expert. Obviously, you've got the experience. Well, the front squat's become one of my favorite exercises lately. And, I was reading around on one of my forums that I moderate, and it kind of bothers me that some of these, like, know-it-alls in my own forum are talking about the proper way to hold the bar. And a couple of people said, don't do the stupid bodybuilding version of the front squat where you cross your hands to hold the bar. It's retarded. Someone else said, why do people cross their hands on the bar? I never understand. And the last one was the same reason mentally disabled people have kids. Am I missing something here? Because when I asked...
Yeah, I did get your email, David, and if you have any questions, maybe all throughout the week, maybe this radio show stimulates thoughts if you're listening to this in a podcasted or downloaded version. And this is for everyone out there. Email me at skip@skiplacour.com. skip@skiplacour.com. I mean, I can field all your questions. And I did get your question, David.
Okay.
And it brought up a lot of different points. Okay. Number one is, let's just talk immediately about what you're talking about. What I do is I like to bring in all the different physical, mental, emotional aspects when I get questions, because it's not, a lot of times when people have a challenge or you have a question, there are a lot of different layers to that. And as you listen to this show today and as you listen to this show every week, you'll see that the way that I break things down in that physical first, mental, emotional way will help you with your problem-solving process. I'm sure when you, David, or when other people listen to this show, like just say 6 months from now, you can pretty much predict the answers that I'll give because I go in a certain pattern. So let's just break this down. I think it's a great question, and it's a great question that I am sure at some levels everyone out there who's trying to take their physique to the next level will have challenges with. So let's just talk about the obvious. You talk about front squats, okay?
Right.
You say that's one of your favorite exercises, okay? Let me ask you this question. Mark David. So, Mark, why is that your favorite exercise?
I've noticed I've done a lot of back squats. Legs are one of my favorite body parts to work, so I've seen the development. When I started doing the front squats, I saw the sweep in my quads come out. It was much more focused. I had to be tighter on my form. There was less glute involvement, less hamstrings, and so it really focused more of the emphasis on, the look of my legs as opposed to bulk strength. So I think I like it more now because I can really feel the muscle. I don't feel like my stomach or core is getting bigger. I just feel like, whoa, my quads are getting bigger rather than other parts, I guess.
Just right. I like the way you think. It's a well-thought-out process. You have an explanation for what you do. And that's the first thing that I do when someone comes to me with a theory or an opinion, is that I just like to find out how much thought that has actually gone into why they've come up with a particular training theory. A lot of times, a lot of people in the gym, they do something because someone told them in the gym, you know, years ago without putting too much thought into it. So you put a lot of thought into it. Let me ask you this question. Front squats compared to regular squats, what is the difference in the amount of weight you're able to lift approximately?
Probably around 100 pounds.
Okay, is that like 33% less about or so? Or
Somewhere in that range, yeah.
Okay, all right. See, sometimes we come up with theories and this is saying that this does not always equal that. This does not always equal that, meaning that you come up with an effective solution to a challenge, but at the same time, it's not for the reasons why you think it is, okay? It's working for you. Keep on doing it. And I'll use an example in the nutrition world. I've brought this up many times, is when there's a theory that says don't eat any food after 7 o'clock at night and you'll effectively lose body fat, you'll effectively lose weight, okay? And then I'll ask the person, well, why are you doing that? And they'll say, well, because your body, when you go to sleep, it'll shut down and won't burn off the food effectively, and it'll turn it to body fat, okay? Well, not eating food after 7 o'clock may be an effective strategy in a way, but the real reason is when the calories ingested versus calories burned, you don't eat any food after 7 o'clock. You don't eat again until 7 o'clock in the morning. You haven't eaten for 12 hours. 12 hours in 24-hour days, you're going to consume fewer calories. You've eaten fewer calories than you probably burned. That's why you're losing weight. It has nothing to do with eating after 7 o'clock and that food that you've eaten after 7 o'clock, then you go to bed and turning into fat. So this does not always equal that, all right? Your question kind of ties in line with what David from Detroit talked about. So David, if you're listening, it's similar to what I was telling you is that, and Mark, is that a lot of times now when you do front squats, it's because you're using less weight, okay? You're not having to get so pumped up. You're concentrating on those muscles that are most important to you. You love training legs. I congratulate you for that. I would say that probably fewer than 10% of the people who train in the gym, their favorite body part is legs, so that's interesting. That's awesome. But you talked about you're really concentrating on the legs, whereas maybe when you're doing the front squats and putting that 33% more weight, you're really tightening up on your core. You're really incorporating a lot of different muscle groups, yet you want to concentrate on that sweep of the quad. So because of not necessarily where the bar is placed, it's because you pick that right weight that you're concentrating on the targeted muscle group and not just moving from point A to point B. Again, whatever works for you. All right. So, you know, the basic answer to your question is whatever stimulates that muscle. You found a way to stimulate the part of the leg muscles that you want to work most, that's most important to you. So, you know, whether the hand in this position or that position, it's what stimulates the muscle, whatever is effective. And in the big picture, you know, having your hands here versus a little over here, what's it really matter anyway? What's it matter where your hands are when you're working leg muscles? Does that make sense, Mark?
Yes. My thought on that is that there's two ways of gripping the bar, and the cross-arm version is, quote, the bodybuilding version, and then you have the powerlifting version, right? And so someone who would immediately say that crossing your arms is just, you know, retarded obviously is biased towards, you know, strength training or powerlifting. But I agree with you, Skip, that there's no difference.
Right. You're working leg muscles. Now, there could be a difference because you're sculpting your physique, Mark. I mean, you're just putting in perfect proportions. You know, you talked about your leg sweep and you know, holding your arms in a certain position may help you stimulate that muscle, where a power lifter is just going to hold it whatever way because he's just trying to get the weight up from point A to point B. So it's a difference in what their priority is. Is it to build the muscle or is it to perform more by lifting more weight? So that's when we break down what people said. I think there's a bigger point to this question that I think everyone can benefit from is, you know, who are you getting your information from? You know, we have this forum, and, you know, you can see, you know, my muscles, you know, in the bodybuilding magazines or on my website, and you can, a lot of people come to assumptions. Well, he's a genetic freak, or he's this, he's that, that's why he has those muscles, and that training strategy doesn't work, or if it is something that you already have adopted and you think it works, and you say, wow, that guy really is smart, he trains just like I do, right? Whatever it is, where do you find that guru, that expert, to help you take your training is, you don't know by pictures or necessarily his training routine why things work. So when we're in this open forum, you can hear the way I think and the way I break things down. You get a bigger picture on why I do the things that I do. You can't get that that picture or that background to who you're talking to when you're on a message board. You know, Mark, you have no idea of these guys who talk with absolute certainty. Ugh, the same reason mentally disabled people have kids or whatever. You know, who is that? How many years has that guy been training? What's his physique look like, right? You know, you're assuming that he's an expert. You know, Mark, I know a little bit about you, and I'm going to plug your website, www.noblebodybuilding.com, www.noblebodybuilding.com. I mean, you're someone who's been breaking this down for years. It's just interesting that you have no idea who this person is in your chat room or what his credentials are, the way he thinks, right?
Exactly, and that was my point of actually calling you, is that while I love forums, I've always encouraged my members, my newsletter readers, and anyone to grasp, you know, you've got to understand things for yourself so that you can put them into context, because exactly, you don't know who this person is, right?
Right.
Now, maybe they're right and maybe they're wrong. Just take it with a grain of salt, do your own research, and you'll come to the same conclusion that, well, if I'm a bodybuilder, holding the bar is irrelevant. It's, hey, this is a cool exercise. It's called exercise variation. If I like holding the bar in a powerlifting style and it's comfortable, great. If I don't, fine. But you're right. You have to be able to figure out who is giving you advice. And my thing is, well, I'd rather take advice from obviously somebody who's done it, like you, who's been down that road, who can prove it, than somebody I don't know. Not to say the person doesn't know has no information, but
right.
The reader has to evaluate that. A lot of times what I see is, oh, this dude on the message board said it.
Right.
He's right. It's true. It's like, well,
he wrote so well, he was persuasive in his writing and with his argument.
Yes.
That's just because, you know, that guy was really good in high school, his high school English class, too, right?
Yes. I mean, you got to take
it. And you may not know it. He may be 1 year out of high school, too.
It's amazing what people will take, and, you know, you just have to take it with a grain of salt. What I use message board forums, free ones especially, for is to keep my finger on, like, what's going on in the industry, food for thought, and then I'll go into researching that. I won't take what someone said as absolute fact, but it might give me a jumping board and going, huh, I wonder if there's a difference. And then I'll
right.
put the effort forth to
right.
research it beyond just, oh, well, this guy said it, it's fact. That's
right.
What I
do. Well, Mark, this is what, from my experience in helping different people with their health and fitness, their bodybuilding, their training type of goals, is a lot of people start off on this journey. Not very many people continue it for maybe 3 months. It gets the odds get slimmer of you continuing for even a year. you lasting 5 years is very, very slim from all the people who have started on this journey to master their physiques. Now, take a look around your neighborhood. See how many people you actually see, thousands of people, whether it's in the car next to you, someone at the mall. Very few people have really taken hold of their health and fitness, their training, their physique development, to really get an understanding on it. And why is that? They know that they should do that. I've done seminars all around the world. People want to take their lives, their financial status, their personal relationships, and they say their health and fitness to a higher level, okay? And I found out that money's number one, okay, because they associate a lot of different emotions to what money will get them. Relationships are second, and health and fitness is a distant third, okay? They say they want that, yet they go for a lot of different avenues to get that before their health and fitness. And from my experience, they're just confused. They're overwhelmed with the whole process. There's so much information out there. Certainty and confidence is the number one thing that's going to help you last 3 months, 6 months, and 5 years down the road. Because really, if you think about it, if you just go to the gym, do anything, you just do anything and have just some bit of consciousness on your eating habits, you're going to continually improve. And if you're very dedicated and you're paying attention, you can pretty much do anything as long as you're consistent and improve. All right. What happens, though, is holding on to that certainty and confidence. That seems to be the trick. Okay, not getting overwhelmed, not getting distracted. I have people call me all the time through phone consultations or in live seminars. They look great. They look fantastic. Whatever it is they're doing it well. And at the same time, they're so frustrated inside. They're so overwhelmed because of other training strategies. It happens with the Max OT training program all the time, Max OT, maximum overload training. The training program, heavy and intense training developed by AST Sports Science, Sports Nutrition. You can check that website out at www.ast-ss.com. www.ast-ss.com. Actually, you can sign up for the free 12-week Max OT training program. It's a free program, gives you access into a very in-depth website. This Max OT training program is what I've been doing for the last 15 or more years, that I credit my physique, my national champions to this type of short effective training to. I have people who are doing well. They look fantastic. They've taken the time to learn different strategies. They've come to the Max OT training program. That's a more shorter, more intense workouts, maybe unconventional ways where you're going to train hard and intense for 45 minutes and under. Your rep range is that burst of strength and power, direct stimulation to the muscle group in the 4 to 6 rep range, where maybe the traditional way most people train in the gym is 8 to 10 or 10 to 12 reps, okay? These people are succeeding in the gym, okay? Yet they have someone who throws a little salt into their, you know, wounds of maybe insecurity that as they're going for the next level, and it rocks that sense of certainty and confidence, puts them at uncomfortable stage. Even though they have the validation of what they're doing is working, that overwhelm, that opinion of other people kind of ruins it for them. So certainty and confidence is the most important thing. And Mark, that goes back to your question, is you don't know who's writing it. I mean, they could be very persuasive. That's because they're on a message board all day long. Instead of going to the gym, eating their meal on time, living a balanced life, they become internet celebrities. There's a lot of them. It could be a very powerful human emotion to be able to lead other people, lead other men on a chat room. And from my experience, Mark, when I do have, internet interaction, maybe through emails, and someone will challenge maybe a lot of things that I do, which I welcome, their reasoning, they bring up a lot of scientific facts, very persuasive with their arguments, okay? Usually what will tip me off is when they are concentrating on very, 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 very minute details, okay? They can't see a bigger picture the way you broke down the hand position, the arm position with front squats, power lever, powerlifter versus bodybuilder, they make it so black and white. They can't see a bigger picture, as you did, Mark. And they can't make those distinctions for themselves. That tells me what they're hanging on to is certainty and confidence. Okay? They want to be that expert. So that's something to remember when you're getting any source of information from anyone. Remember, results speak louder than anything anyone says. So again, it's important you go to that guru, get a sense of who they are, the way they think, and they don't do it just because. Another thing too is, and Mark, I like your attitude, is that everyone should entertain the idea. I know you're grasping onto that certainty and confidence, okay? At the same time, for those of us who are always striving to that next level, maybe the next level may come from a source that you wouldn't think of. It's taking it, maybe experimenting with it. Maybe it's for one workout. Maybe it's for 10 workouts. It's getting those difference of opinions, actually executing, trying them out, that gives you more clarity. You might go back right to what you were doing. Entertaining different ideas are what's going to take you to the next level. I tell you what, I have guys who follow me, who love what I'm talking about, love my approach to bodybuilding and training. At the same time, they've taken the more traditional type of routes towards eating, towards their cardio, towards their training. And they want to try this MaxOT training. Maybe they've heard people in their gym, or they heard a lot about it on the chat rooms. They want to take that jump. They want to take that leap of faith. They just want to stay certain, though, with what they're currently doing. And I appreciate that. I understand that. You know, I understand that fear. Nobody wants to put forth so much effort and go backwards. Nobody wants to waste their time. You've already made, if you're training in the gym for over 6 months, over a year, if you've made it to the 3-year point, you are in a very, very elite company, okay? That type of certainty and confidence that got you to that point is awesome. I say this on this Manformation show that I also do, is that the physique that you really want, okay, or what you really want in life is usually just one step past your biggest fears, all right? Maybe your biggest fear is to go backwards to when you try a new strategy so you won't adopt it. Usually just trying out the MaxOT training program, even though it's not conventional, even though your buddies in the gym might look at you a little sideways, okay? Past that fear of being accepted, of maybe wasting your time, your greatest fear, one step behind, may be that physique that you really, really want that will launch you into that next level. So never be afraid to take that leap of faith. All right, Mark, do you have any other questions while you're on the line?
Nope, I think you pretty much answered them, Skip. I've been doing this bodybuilding stuff for over 17 years, and I feel like I can never learn enough, and my cup is never full. And, I think that's a key thing that people have to understand, is that you're always trying to learn. There's always a different way that you may or may not do something. The people that I tend to stay away from are the people who are absolutists. Like, they know, this is how you do it. Boom, boom, boom. There are no questions. Don't even ask.
Right. And I think I hope I explain why they're that way, right?
Exactly. You did. And I understand what you're trying to say, and it goes along with my same philosophy, is that you've got to have more of an open mind, in that information can still flow in. If you already know it all, how are you going to learn anything else, right?
Right, right. But again, I'm going to just point that out for those of who may have missed that point. What I talked about is certainty and confidence in what you're doing is the number one challenge for people to stay in the gym and to progress forward. It also is the number one thing that will help you stick with this, certainty and confidence. So those people who you talked about who just grab on what they're doing, this is the way it's done, it's black, it's white, okay, they're familiar with all the different information that's floating on around out there. And they're just trying to make it black and white so they have that certainty and confidence, okay? A better suggestion to keep your certainty and confidence is maybe introduce one slight strategy every once in a while. You know, don't make wholesale changes. I found out for many frustrated lifters is that what they try to do is they want to take their bodies to the next level, they're training to the next level, And what they do is they make wholesale changes. They change every aspect of everything all at the same time. And a better strategy might be to introduce one small eating strategy, one small training strategy, one new exercise, or change up the sequence a little bit. And that will keep you with that certainty and confidence. You'll have a direct comparison on how you introduce that strategy, on how that works in the overall picture. All right? So, hey, let me ask you a question, Mark. As you've been in this game, so to speak, for 18 years, getting back to what we were talking about, is you go through times where you're not quite as motivated. What do you do during those times to get yourself back on track? What are some of the things that you do to get back that fire and desire when your motivation wanes?
There's actually, I can think of two specific things. Number one, I take a break from the gym.
Mm-hmm.
About 7 days, maybe a little less. But, I mean, when I take a break from the gym, there's no lifting, there's no cardio. I'm still active. I'll go on hikes and stuff, but there's no focused training. And number two, it gives me a good chance to just read up on different strategies, look for different – I change my workout programs frequently, so I'll find another workout program that someone else is doing. Maybe it's just something on the Internet they're blogging about their competition workouts, or it's an actual, like you're saying, ASD,
okay,
very focused workout. So I'm going to look for something different to do. And most of the time, you know, since I've been doing it so long, the reason I tend to lose motivation is, you know, I just keep going to the gym day in and day out, consistency, and I never get that break. And so taking a step back and not going to the gym
right
really gets me 50% wanting to go again.
Uh-huh.
And then having something to look forward to, not just stepping into the gym with a plan, but how about stepping into the gym sometimes with a new plan, something different. And it doesn't have to be drastic like you mentioned, but it could be a new program. It could be a different exercise that you weren't doing. For me, it was, you know, let's swap out the back squat for the front and change it around. Just something to keep me mentally fresh as well. So those are two things I've used
right
for years just to keep me going back in. And then there's hundreds of other things like, you know,
right
pictures and blah, blah, blah. But basically,
okay, so time out of the gym,
yep,
to get a fresh mental perspective, and that's more of than a physical thing.
Right.
And then changing your workout program from time to time.
Something new to do. I mean,
right,
it could be, it doesn't have to be a drastic change. Some people are very routine-based, and that's fine. I like to do all kinds of different exercise variations.
Okay.
So as long as I can step back into the gym and have something to look forward to that's fun or different, that works for me.
Gotcha. So that variation. Let me ask you this question, Mark, is that when you talk about time out of the gym, how do you determine when it's time to take time out of the gym?
Here's the weird thing. I actually pinpointed it down on a calendar that if I worked out hard, pushed my body as hard as I could for 9 weeks, I would get sick on the 10th week. And I mean not like, what? Yes, every 10th week, if I did not take a break after the 9th week, if I kept going as hard as I did, I would get sick every single time. Every single time. So I determine it that, you know, just for me, about nine weeks is when I need to take a step back. I can push myself hard for that time. After that, I feel my immune system has gone
okay
so low.
Let me ask you this question. What if you're on a roll and you're at that 9 weeks and you really want to go back to the gym? Would you take a break anyway?
No, I probably wouldn't, to be honest with you. I've had times in the gym where I just feel incredibly strong, and I take advantage of it.
So you keep on going.
I
all right
feel like crap.
Okay.
I don't.
All right.
Probably.
I got that. Now, changing your workout program, is that done on a systematic type manner? I mean, do you what's your strategy when you change workout program? Does it go by a certain feel or a certain time schedule?
More of a certain feel with the combination of a time schedule. I cycle my workout through either a strength training, and sometimes I'll do volume training, more of in a combination with a cutting. Biorhythms for me, like how I feel necessarily, don't play a huge factor into that because that can be a daily variation. So I try and cycle
gotcha,
my training.
It. Now, biorhythms, you're basically talking about your emotional feelings.
Some, like you said, some days you're on in the gym and some days you're off. Maybe you come
no,
in.
No, you bring up a good point.
To eat,
right.
So
okay
that doesn't really affect my training regimen on a long-term scale. It might a little bit, but I'll go through cycles of strength training, and then I'll back it off. I'll do less weight, but I'll change, you know, instead of doing a progressive resistance, I'll do a progressive overload. So instead of adding more weight to a front squat, how can I make the front squat that I was doing harder without adding weight? Maybe I'll change
the
tempo.
Gotcha. Now, there's a couple things that Mark talked about, and this is getting back that fire and desire, getting back that motivation in the gym. He talked about two things. Taking time out of the gym, and he, what his strategy is, what's worked out through his body, and I mean, on future shows, Mark, we can talk about a lot of things you talked about. You talked about there's such things as a self-fulfilling prophecy. Okay, what you believe to be true is true for you. You tell your body, I am totally in line that our bodies respond to our minds. So when you tell yourself you're going to get sick every 10 weeks, guess what? You're going to get sick every 10 weeks. What you talk about those biorhythms, our emotional feelings. One thing I coach is for people, don't go by their feelings. Feelings could vary from day to day, from hour to hour, and that's not a good indicator of how you should pick out a training program. Go by feelings. You'll hear about instinctive type training. Okay, mental toughness can work for you. Can also work against you. You cannot be mentally tough and think you need a break. You can be mentally tough and not take a break when your physical body needs to. What I suggest is that you take it out of the emotional feelings as part of an indicator or a prerequisite to dictate your time out of the gym. Max OT training suggests that you have a predetermined time we're going to take time out of the gym, 8 to 10 weeks, whether you like it or not. I'll tell you what, when I was focused, when I was competing for a show, I was determined to be the very best on stage on a particular day of the year, whether that was, you know, 6 months later or 3 months later. My mind was so strong that I would want to continue on with my training. All right, and your body sometimes needs a break anyway, so just schedule that ahead of time where it's predetermined. I know that I'm going to take a break in 8 weeks. It's already predetermined, so I don't have to wait until that, you know, seventh week and see how I feel to go forward more because I'm feeling strong or mentally tough, or I want to take a break, I don't know, at 6 weeks or something. It's predetermined when you're going to take the workout. Max OT training, it's predetermined to take a workout every 8 to 10 weeks. Also, in that same 8 to 10 week cycle that is predetermined, that's when you'll change your routine to a different variation of the Max OT training program. So those type of factors, your time out of the gym, which is very necessary, not only mentally when we're talking about the fire and desire to train, to get a fresh new look, a new sense of urgency to train in the gym, also physically for your body. So that time out of the gym is pre-scheduled, and when you work out, you're changing your workout program. That's also predetermined, too. We have a caller from the 908 area code. Caller, on the 908 area code, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Skip, how you doing? My name is Dean.
I am awesome.
Good.
Dean?
Yeah, I've called in a couple times before.
Dean, where are you from?
I'm sorry?
Where are you from?
Oh, I'm from East Brunswick, New Jersey.
Okay.
And
how can I help you today?
Well, okay, I like the topic that you're doing the show on about, I guess, how you get your motivation back.
Right.
And there's one little twist I'd like to put into the question, if you don't mind, and
okay.
That is simply is how you even lose that motivation in the first place, because I think understanding that will help you get it back. It's sort of the cause of losing focus, and then it will help you with, you know, getting the motivation back. Because just from personal experience, what typically happens with me is I tend to lose focus on how important bodybuilding is to me and having the body I like. And then when I all of a sudden, you know, my mind feels like it's playing tricks on me, you know, you're like, well, it's not the greatest thing in the world, so we can cut back a little bit on our diet so you don't get your 300 grams of protein.
Right.
And
now, the greatest thing in the world means it's not that important to my life mission and purpose. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes, because typically when I know myself, when I'm really on top of my game, it is very, very important. You know, I have my career. I have another hobby, which I'm trying to turn into a career. and bodybuilding are like the most important things to me. And I need all of them for me to feel like a whole integrated person.
I gotcha.
And even though I don't get paid from bodybuilding, there's still the psychological gain that's absolutely necessary to fuel me with all my other activities.
Right. I gotcha. I know where you're going. That I'm sure that's a challenge for most people. It's in life when you know what you want, when it's clear in your mind, it's on the forefront, not just some subconscious desire. When you keep on reminding yourself why it's so important, that's when you'll execute every single day with the things you already know you need to do. A lot of times it's not knowing what to do. It's doing the things we already know that we should do. And many times we've already done them before we've achieved the results. It's just continuing to do those. It's that fire and desire that you talked about. I remember back before I started training with weights, I used to run. And I don't know, I was like 21, 22 years old. I didn't start training until I was 27 years old with weights. But so I wanted to get in shape and maybe, building up a little too much body fat around the midsection, maybe around the handles. Maybe I felt sluggish. Whatever the reason was, I was motivated to start running. And so I'd go out and I'd start running maybe around the block at first as I build my wind, you know. And then it was two blocks, or then it turned into a couple miles. After a while, I was running 5 miles a day, okay? And I remember those feelings. I was going, wow, the air is fresher, the birds are singing more beautifully, the world is responding to me, I'm sharper, I'm emotionally, I was feeling all the great benefits. Yes, the world was a better place, right? And I said, that's because of this running that I'm doing. It was fresh in my mind. Boy, I got to keep on doing it. Got somewhat addicted to that feeling. I was tying into all the success in different areas of your life. There's this thing called when we start becoming familiar with things, the law of familiarity, the things that we do to put us in a great place, when we keep on doing them after a while, they become too familiar to us, and their importance starts dropping down. Okay, we don't know why we're being so successful anymore, and we don't directly link it anymore to that running. So I do this all the time. I would be running and then for whatever reason I'd get off track, right? And I almost stop running altogether. Okay, here's the thing in life is there's always this lag time. There's a lag time when you start working out in the gym that you don't see the results for a while. There's that lag time, and you got to be patient to see the results later on. And at the same time, when you stop working out or stop eating, right, there's also a lag time there that
you actually realize, like, oh, my God, I'm drifting off course.
Right. Your body's not going to fall apart the day after you stop training. There's going to be that lag time, and that's great. That's the way it should be. So that's what would happen with this running analogy that I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden I'd be back into what I would think is a funk or, the birds aren't chirping anymore or whatever the reason was. I'd say, you know what? Why did I ever stop running? Why did I ever stop running? And so I'd get back on my kick, and I would immediately start enjoying the benefits again. And then I would say, why did I ever stop running? This is exactly the reason why I love to run. Okay, I'd get all those great feelings back.
That's exactly what I go through.
Right. But guess what, Dean? It's 3 months later, 6 months later, guess what? I stopped running again because it became familiar to me again. Even though I already had the past experience of, look, Skip, the running makes you feel great, don't stop. But then I stop. And I get that reintroduced to that lesson, and I stop again. Go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's almost as if you haven't learned. What the hell?
Well, here's what I believe from my personal experience and the experience of helping others is what happens is that, for a person like you to call up to a radio talk show to get this type of personal coaching, you're the kind of person who is constantly looking for that edge, who's constantly taking not only your body to the next level, probably all areas of your life. Am I right about that, Dean?
Absolutely. In fact, I was one of the things I was going to mention is a lack of time, which I refuse to use as an excuse. But because I have so many things in my life, I have maybe when I come home from work and I do my art, I have maybe 2 to 3 hours to get all the bills done, to clean the house, and to train. So, but in any case, it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, up to me to make it happen. But in any case, yeah, I like to, you know, basically do well.
Right.
All
so when it comes to your training and nutrition, you get that going right, and then you want to set it and forget it, so to speak, right? And then you go on to something else, right? And that becomes the more of the focus point and the priority in life. And then that takes time, that takes effort, that takes focus. And then the other one, kind of, you know, whatever it is in your life, whether that is your training or eating habits, they become less important. I'll tell you the biggest distinction, again, I try to throw in as much of my experience to help everyone who's listening, whether you're listening to this live or in a podcast or archive version, is the reason why I had the physique that I did to win those six national championships was because of the way that I ate. And not just the way that I ate, it was my discipline and approach. Eating every 2 hours for years and years and years and years. Okay, I would tell you what I'd be doing at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday 6 months from now because it was like clockwork. That made the difference. Okay? Well, when you're not trying to have striated glutes or win a trophy on stage anymore, and then you want to introduce other areas of your life. Maybe it's a business success. Maybe it's having the best darn bodybuilding and training talk radio show in the world, okay? Well, eating on time, when you're on a creative roll, it doesn't become as important anymore, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So you start introducing things like that, other different goals, you know, that becomes in the forefront of your brain. Well, guess what? Eating on time, it becomes less important. You're just not reminded of it as much, all right? So, and then slowly but surely, it'll slip away. That balance in life, that particular area. At the same time, Mark, you sound like, Dean, you sound like the person who you're excelling in other areas of your life. It's just balanced and all, and it's just this juggling game. Let me just tell you something. I admire you for even having a juggling game. Most people won't even strive for more in their life. So have fun. Play with the resistance. That's the spice of life. You're doing a great job by even taking on those particular challenges. All right? So, you know, that's awesome. Play with it. You know, enjoy the good. I tell people to enjoy the good times, enjoy those roles you're on. Play with it. Even enjoy those times where you're not balancing quite as correctly. I would say a solution is to write down your vision, not for just your bodybuilding training. Have specific training goals. And we talked about this on last week's show is what are your five top training goals with your eating, training, cardio? Write five major goals down, and just take 5 minutes as you're warming up before every workout just to review them. Put them into the forefront of your brain, in the forefront of your mind. Make it a conscious goal, and then you'll find out all throughout the day because you constantly remind yourself of what's most important to you in life, you'll start executing the things that you know you need to do. Here's the other thing, especially for an ambitious person like you, Dean, is write out your life vision. Take the time to write out all areas of your life, okay, and how the bodybuilding training will integrate with your personal life and your business life and your social interaction. Write a story. Do you know that, Dean, what I do when I'm in a most emotional state doing cardio before my workout, I have a 7-page dream life where everything mentally, emotionally, physically, how my body and exercise works in there, how I plan out my workday, what my goals are and vision of the future. Okay, my interactions with other people, what I want, what's the biggest purpose of my life. It's a 7-page story that I read on a continual basis to have that priority, have that vision, have that goal, and it helps me keep things in line. Now, do I always have it, the priorities down exactly right? Am I always outstanding and amazing at every area? No, and I think that's a frustration that you're feeling. Yet, having that overall vision and having a plan of how you're going to prioritize it, okay, will keep you better than most. Not perfect. You know, that, you know, you're never going to be there. I think you already know that, Dean. Having these type of mental strategies will help you, you know, get closer and closer and closer to that higher level. And when you think about it, is even though you're not there, so to speak, quote unquote, there, you're out on a, you're performing at a very, very high level, something you should be proud of and appreciate. All right?
Well, thank you.
Now, we're wrapping up to the end of the show. Hey, thanks a lot, Dean from East Brunswick, New Jersey? Yes, sir.
Yeah, good memory. And, well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. You hit the nail right on the head, and it's a matter of keeping my priorities basically crystallized in front of me so I can remind myself regularly.
Right. Awesome. All right. Hey, well, that wraps up this show. Thank you very much for joining me. Visit my website at www.skiplacour.com, S-K-I-P-L-A-C-O-U-R. That Max OT training program I talked about, sign up for the free 12-week course, www.ast-ss.com. Have a great week. Train hard and think big.
Hi, this is Skip LaCour. Thank you for joining me on this archived or podcasted show. I want to invite you to join me live during the show every Sunday and let me help you solve your bodybuilding and training problems personally. Visit my website at www.skiplacour.com for more information on training, nutrition, supplementation, and motivation. And take the time to sign up on my list for free weekly tips, messages, and website updates that will be sent to you by email. If you have any questions about anything I've discussed during the show, or any other questions for that matter, email them to me at skip@skiplacour.com. I'd also like to take this time to invite you to listen to The Manformation Show. It's a weekly talk show where I discuss strategies that help transform you into the man you really want to be. You can go to www.manformation.com to get more information about this concept that will help you take your life to the next level. Bookmark your web browser now to www.manformationradio.com and join the live show every Saturday morning.